Father, we love you. We honor you. Jesus, today, God, we reflect on your birth, your life, your death, your resurrection. And God, we recognize that not only did you take our place on the cross, but God, we got to take your place as sons and daughters of the Most High. It's not just about what you saved us from. It's about what you've saved us to and what you've saved us for. Oh God, that we may grasp like we never have before how wide, how deep, how high, how long, how big, how immense, how amazing is the love of God that has been revealed to us in Christ Jesus. Lifehouse, if you would, I know that this can be difficult sometimes because you think, I don't know what to say, I don't know how to respond, and it can create feelings of awkwardness. I would just encourage you, nothing to feel awkward about. I've been a Christian for several years. I've been a pastor for several years, and sometimes even when I go to pray, I have to pray, Lord, I don't really know how to pray. I don't know what to pray right now. Would you please help me? And I just sit there, and maybe it's not about what I have to say. Maybe it's even about what the Lord even has to say to me. I'm going to watch this clock, and I'm going to let a minute go by. Worship team's just going to play music. They're not going to sing. But just with your own mouth, with your own heart, with your own words, would you talk to your Father? Just spend some time in his presence. Spend some time communing with him. If you don't know what to say, just say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I desire you in my life in a greater way. Can we do that now all across the house? Team, would you go ahead and start playing? Can you just start speaking it out? Don't be ashamed. Don't be scared. I'm not trying to force or manipulate. I just want to encourage you in this moment to lean in to his presence. Gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no darkness or shadow of turning. Oh God, we love you. We thank you, Jesus. Can you just lift your hands and say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, you can clap, you can sing, you can hoop and holler. It's okay. Hallelujah, hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who is and is to come. And God, as we continue throughout the remainder of this service, as you have been so present with us, that you will continue to move and minister in this place, in our hearts, in our minds, that we would leave looking a little bit more like Jesus than when we showed up. And we pray it all in the mighty name of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. And all of Lifehouse said, amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord another hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. You can be seated today. Lifehouse, I sure do love you. When I came here in 2017, and the Lord brought us, I didn't really have, to be honest with you, great vision exactly. If you remember Vision Sunday, I feel like I'm still walking by stages. I was definitely walking by stages then. But I had one real big goal in mind, and that was, Lord, I want Lifehouse to be the kind of church that if I wasn't the pastor and I lived in Oak Ridge, that's still where I'd want to go. And I'm so thankful that God has answered that prayer in abundance. I look around and I see all your faces, and some of you I feel like I know really well. Some of you I'm still getting to know better. Some of you I haven't had the pleasure of even getting to know at all yet, and I'm looking forward for that. And I just thank God that he saw fit in his goodness and wisdom to allow me to be here at this time with some of the most amazing people on planet Earth. I know this is going to seem weird, maybe a little strange, but I want you to give yourselves a hand for just being awesome. Like, you deserve it. Too many of you are talking bad about yourself in your own head. And I just want to tell you, that's a lie. That's all that negativity, that's a lie. That's not from the Lord. It's a lie that the enemy is wanting to put in there to convince you that you are not the man or the woman that God has made and created and redeemed you to be. You are a child of the King. You are an heir along with your big brother, Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures. And any voice in your head that has anything to say to you that makes you seem like you are less than the redeemed and chosen son or daughter of God is straight from the pit of hell, and you need to tell that voice to go back where it came from. Come on, can I get a helpful amen there? It's not from your father. He doesn't talk like that. Your earthly father may have spoke like that. Your earthly mother may have spoke like that. I don't know. But your heavenly father, he doesn't talk to you that way. The best way that you can get familiar with his voice is to get familiar with his word. And as you read his word, you recognize his voice. When he speaks, it builds, it uplifts, it encourages. It may convict, but it will never condemn. He's a good father. One more time, say amen. You guys ready? You guys ready for a Christmas sermon? Because I'm ready to preach a Christmas sermon. Come on, I said I'm ready to preach a Christmas sermon at Lifehouse Church today. Surprise, surprise, go to the book of Luke. That's what's up. Starting a series today, I'm going to call it When Heaven Invades Earth. Because that's what Christmas is all about. That's what Christmas is all about. When heaven showed up on the scene and invaded this planet with the goodness of God, and the kingdom of heaven was established, and here we are 2,000 years later, and it is still being established. When Jesus showed up, that's when heaven stepped in. Into real life, to real families who are facing real problems and who are dealing with real pain. And some of you today, you're waiting and believing on a real miracle from a real God who you really want to see show up. Have you ever waited on something, prayed about something, waited on something for so long? I've done this. That you just kind of forgot about it? Can we be real in the house today? Raise your hand if you've ever prayed for something and it didn't happen and you just forgot about it. Pretty much the whole house. I want to talk today about heaven and how heaven will invade our waiting. Luke chapter 1. Would you stand? We're going to read a few verses together. If the Christmas story was turned into a movie and part one was the stable at Bethlehem, the prequel would be Luke chapter 1 right here. You know, because in the movie world today, they make the main story and then 20 years later they come out with a prequel and they have to like rectify everything and retcon all this stuff. Well, thankfully, the script's already here, you know, so they could. But this would be the prequel. And this is what the Word of God says, starting in verse number 5 of Luke 1. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day, I mean, I could preach a whole sermon, and I'm about to, on one day. Look at your neighbor and say, one day. You ever have that thought in your head, one day when da-da-da-da-da, I'm gonna da-da-da-da-da. One day, Zechariah was serving. Bro, I could preach that. I think I will. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. Essentially, Zechariah was a first century worship leader at the temple. Verse 10, while the incense was being burned, while the worship was going up, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. What you're going to notice in the book of Luke, this is just a little insert right here, is that Luke is a very specific recorder of events. It's very interesting to read how he notices details that many people wouldn't notice. We learn from the book of Acts and the letters of Paul that Luke was a physician, which lends even more to the understanding that he was a detail-oriented individual. And I love, even right here, an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah. And that's where my sentence stops. Right? Like the angel of the Lord showed up and every other detail didn't matter. But Luke, interviewing people years and years later, Zechariah told the story. And here is the incense altar. And then to the right was the angel of the Lord. And what's also interesting about Luke, a little bit different than Matthew, is his story doesn't start with a miracle. It starts with a couple who had wanted a miracle and felt like all hope had expired on ever receiving the miracle. You hear me this morning? Who's ever thought, and I want you to raise your hand, because we're at Lifehouse, we're real. And you know, one of the things, you know, there's a saying, you know, misery loves company, and that's true, it does. But you know who else loves company? Are men and women of God who want to know that they're not alone in their struggles. So who in the room today, being honest with yourself and your brothers and sisters in the house and the Lord, has ever thought, maybe even prayed, God, where are you at? Maybe you got better grammar than that, but that's, you know, where are you, God? How many of you have ever thought or even prayed, God, did you forget about me? Anybody in the house? God, maybe you've prayed, God, can you hear me? Do I need to walk outside where this roof's not in the way? Maybe you've ever prayed, or maybe you've thought, God, is this ever going to change? Here's the sermon in a sentence. If you have to leave early, you've already got the message right here, but don't hurt my feelings like that. Heaven is still working, even in the waiting. And I'm going to prove it to you with my good buddy Luke this morning. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that heaven has invaded earth. God, thank you through the power of your Holy Spirit, heaven has invaded my life. Lord, today, I don't want to preach a sermon. God, I want to encounter you. God, I don't want to go through the motions. Lord, I want to have an experience with the resurrected Lord and Savior of all creation. God, I don't want to just speak empty words. Lord, I want to hear from heaven today. God, I'm not up here preaching for other people. Lord, I'm up here surrendered because I need you today. We need you in this house, in our lives, in our homes, in our kids' lives. Lord, many of us in the room, we've already admitted we've waited so long to see you move that we just gave up hope. God, I pray today that hope would be rekindled in our hearts. I pray that there would be prayers that we may have prayed decades ago. Lord, we'll start praying those prayers again in faith, believing that you are the God who never forgets. You are the God who never leaves. You are the God who never forsakes. God, I pray today that faith even now would begin to be built up in our hearts and our minds. And by the time this service is over, we're going to be asking you for things, Lord, that we walked into this building thinking impossible. But we're going to have a new kindled faith in our life. And we're going to pray prayers that other people would say, that's ridiculous that you would ever pray that. But God, we know that you are the God who is always there, always real, always present, and always able. You are the God who shows up and shows out. We're believing it and we're holding on to that today. That you would invade this place, invade this simple sermon, and have your way and be exalted in it all. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Come on, give the Lord another hand clap of praise. He's worthy. I got a few observations from this story I want to share with you, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to take up an offering. And I believe that in some way or another, those things are related, because that offering that we're going to give today, it's also a faith offering. This message isn't about money. This message is about faith and believing. Let there be light. Can I get an amen? I was just a little late with the directive. Thank you, Chad. Appreciate you, bro. Here's my first observation from Luke chapter 1. And if you're taking notes, I encourage you, write this down. I think it'll be an encouragement to you. But here's my first observation. God is working in the silence long before you see the evidence. God is working in the silence long before you see the evidence. A few years ago, actually, we've done this twice since we lived in Oak Ridge. But a few years ago, I took my wife and our kids for Kristen's birthday to Disney on Ice at Knoxville. That's how much I love my family. I have a jewel in my crown waiting on me in heaven just for that evening. The truth is, I actually really enjoyed it. I'm a little ashamed of how much I enjoyed it. I thought it was amazing. Not so much what was happening on the ice in front of my eyes, but they would open this big door, and I could see back there, kind of in this backstage area, things that they were doing, getting them ready to come out. And that's what really amazed me. There was a lot happening right in front of my eyes, but I knew that for every one thing I saw out here on the ice, I bet there was at least five things happening backstage to make that one thing happen. Can I tell you today that heaven does its best work behind the scenes? Between the book of Malachi and Matthew, from the last prophecy given for the Messiah to the fulfillment of the Messiah in Jesus, there were 400 years of supposed silence. There were no prophets. There were no scripture recordings. There were no angelic encounters of note. There was no movement. But the truth is that even though it looked like God was absent, he was not absent. He was being strategic. You see, in that 400 years of human history, it's one of the most unique periods of history, because during that 400 years, we call it 400 years of silence, but again, it wasn't silent. God was moving the pieces, preparing the way for Jesus to come. Greek becomes a universal language that is spoken in all of the known world. The Roman roads and the ships that are being built make world travel possible for the first time in human history. Synagogues are popping up all over over the Middle East, the Near East, and even into Europe as Judaism is spreading. And then scripture is being taught. And then we enter into what is called the Pax Romana, which is essentially one of the most peaceful and prosperous times in all of human history up until that point, creating stability for something like the news of the gospel to go forth into the world like it has never done before. That's why Paul writes in Galatians 4:4, at the right time, look at your neighbor and say, there is a time and there is the right time. At the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman subject to the law. Zechariah and Elizabeth were experiencing their own silent years. They're good people. They're prayerful people. Scripture makes this very clear. They're faithful people. They're obviously very patient people, but they're also hurting people. They're also disappointed. They're doing everything they know to do right, but their hopes and dreams of having a child, especially in a culture that would literally ostracize women for being unable to have children. Families were subjected to ridicule if they didn't have kids. And so they're in this situation. Not only are they dealing with the sociological, social status of not being able to have children, but the emotional and relational pain that is involved with that. But in verse 11, heaven shows up and invades the ordinary. You see, God had been working in the silence the whole time. Here's the thing, just because you don't see movement doesn't mean that God's not moving on your behalf. Your waiting is not wasted, it's preparation for what the Lord is bringing you into a new season, into a new situation. Now, I know a lot of this can get really a cliche sounding, but I'm here today to tell you that I asked the Lord what I should talk about, and here we are. I believe this is a now word for Lifehouse Church. Observation number two, heaven shows up for people who keep showing up. Heaven shows up for people who keep showing up. Luke 1:8, one more time, one day. Look at your neighbor and say, one day. Come on, grab their shoulder and say, one day's coming. One day, Zechariah was serving. He was serving God in the temple for his order. The order of priests was on duty that week. Zechariah was not on a mountaintop, or literal mountaintop or figurative mountaintop. He wasn't at a retreat. He wasn't at a conference. He wasn't on a 21-day fast. He wasn't doing anything dramatic. He wasn't doing anything special. Essentially, he showed up to church. He clicked yes on Planning Center, and he went to the nursery, and he got to work. Some of y'all, I love you, but you don't think God can move behind those doors. You got to be out here because you need to experience church. Can I tell you, you might be missing out on a miracle because God ain't looking for people who are looking for experience. God is looking for people who show up and do what they need to do to help the movement and help the gospel go forward. Sorry. The truth is that if you keep showing up, I believe that the God of heaven will show up in your life. And I say I believe it. The reason I believe it is because I've been reading about it. Right in the middle of your one day, right in the middle of your ordinary, right in the middle of your faithfulness. Because here's the truth, God rarely shows up in the spectacular. He shows up in the consistent. I can prove it to you all throughout Scripture. That's how God shows up from Abraham to Moses to David to Gideon to Daniel, doing the thing that they know that they need to do, not even looking for anything, but God shows up right in the middle of their one day that in their mind was just like every other day. Verse 11, while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing right to the right of the incense altar. And I love this. If you ever have wondered what angels look like, one of the clues is that all throughout Scripture, anytime somebody sees an angel, very often the first thing the angel said is, hey, calm down, don't be scared. I'm not going to kill you. Okay? So, just FYI there. Verse 12, Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. And the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. I ain't going to kill you. God has heard your prayer. You know, I wonder if Zechariah thought, what prayer? Which one, Denora? The angel says, your wife Elizabeth is going to give you a son, and you are to name him John. Zechariah, oh, that prayer. I wonder, though, if he thought, man, I hadn't prayed that prayer in a long time. I wonder if he thought, God, I'd given up on that. I'd given up on that miracle. Skip to verse 17. Here's your little insight to John the Baptist. Spoiler alert. He's going to be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Can I tell you again, Lifehouse, that heaven shows up for people who keep showing up. And I want to encourage you today, keep praying. Keep worshiping. Keep giving. Keep serving. I know it's a lyric, but keep believing, right? Zechariah was not in the temple expecting an angel. He woke up, he put on the same robe, he prayed the same prayers, he walked into the same temple. As far as Zechariah was concerned, it was another day at church. And because he was a priest, you could even say, as far as Zechariah was concerned, it was another day at work. But heaven said, it's not another day, it is the day. It is the day that the angel of the Lord is going to appear to you, and the prayer that you have prayed, maybe you prayed it so many times that it became routine, and maybe it became routine to the point where you didn't even think it mattered anymore, or maybe you had prayed it so many times, and that prayer kept falling on deaf ears as far as you were concerned, even though heaven behind the scenes was moving the pieces. And here's the thing, you got to remember this. John the Baptist is the one, according to Scripture, who made straight the way for the king. He prepared the way for Jesus to come on the scene. Now, Elizabeth and Zechariah, they could have had a baby a lot earlier, but it would not have aligned with the plan of God to bring the Messiah into the world. And even though they had to endure many years of disappointment, many years of hopes that were not being fulfilled, God said to them, if you will just hold on, because I know that you want a son, but I want to give you a prophet. I know that you're asking for a baby, but I want to give you a world changer. And if I gave him to you right now, he couldn't be, at this point in history, everything that I need him to be. So if you'll just keep believing, if you'll just keep showing up, eventually I'm going to show up and I'm going to show out in your situation in ways like you cannot think, ask, or even imagine. And here's the reality. Yeah, give the Lord praise. The reality is God has a plan for your life. You've heard it every time you've ever been to church. But what we often miss is that God's plan is not always just about us. That everything God is doing is weaving our lives and our stories together. And he doesn't want to just bring blessing into your life to bless you. He wants to bring blessing into your life so that you can be a blessing, so that you can be an agent of change, so that you can be part of this bigger story that God is telling and this bigger work that God is accomplishing. But we have to ask, how many miracles have we potentially missed out on because we gave up too early? How many amazing works of God in our life have we potentially forfeited because we allowed despair and disappointment to take the place of hope and faith. Keep showing up. Keep praying. Keep serving. Keep reading the word. Keep doing what God has called you to do. Because heaven shows up for people who keep showing up. And the truth is, God may not show, he may never show up the way that you've been praying or asking, but I guarantee you, he will show up. Third observation. Heaven's timing is perfect, even when yours is painful. Heaven's timing is perfect, even when yours is painful. Would you like for an angel to show up and tell you that a miracle was on the way in your life? I mean, I'll be real with you. I think that'd be pretty sweet. Although, according to people in Scripture, I'd probably have to change my underwear. I mean, just real. I jump scare pretty easy. I'd be like, I hope I don't cuss. I'm just saying. What the heaven is that? I've never seen an angel that I know of. It's possible I've seen it, I've seen one and not realized it or understood it or known it. I've seen a lot of demons. Grocery store. I-75. I'm kidding-ish. I think most of us in the room would be like, it'd be pretty cool if an angel showed up. Now, I don't want to just see an angel. I want him to say something good, you know? I mean, if he tells me I'm going to have a baby, that's it's different. You would think that Zechariah, after seeing an angel and having this angel tell him, hey, one of the deepest desires of your life is going to be fulfilled this time next year, that he would have been like, woo, yeah, like there's an angel, you weren't here, and then you were here. Obviously, you're an angel because you scared me so bad, and you're from God, and I can trust what you're going to say, and you know what I really want most, and you're telling me that what I really want most is going to happen. You would think that Zechariah would have been completely confident in what this angel was telling him. Verse 18, Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure? What you going to give me, right? You know, like, how can I be sure this is going to happen? And I love what he says. He says, I'm an old man now. But that's not the part I love. I love the second part. And my wife is also well along in years. You know what? He don't want to call his wife old, y'all. That's what it is. He didn't want to call her old. He said, I'm an old man. And my wife's, you know, she's well along in years. We'll just say that. If you don't read the Bible like this, you're missing out. I'm just saying. When I read these stories, I'm like, oh, bro's word, that God was going to be like, your husband called you old. Can I tell you something? God's truth always supersedes humans' facts. The fact was, Zechariah was old. And even though he didn't want to word it like this, Elizabeth was on up there too. Far past the time of having kids. But God's truth supersedes our facts. In other words, God says, I know you old. You've been praying this prayer for a long time. I know that all the biological components aren't what they used to be. Right? Don't think too much about that. Don't go down that road, John. I heard you laughing. But God says, my truth trumps your facts, always. And then God does something kind of strange, or the angel. The angel said, I am Gabriel. It's one of the very few times we get a name here, and we'll see Gabriel again a little bit later. But I love how he describes himself. I stand in the very presence of God. Gabriel's like, you better recognize who you're talking to, boy. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. There's a little toot in his voice. You hear it? You hear that? There's a little like, listen, you don't know who you're dealing with. I'll cut your head off right now and glue it back together and show you what's up if I had to. I stand in the presence of God, boy. You over here standing in front of this incense altar. You don't even know. And Gabriel says to him, because you have doubted this news that I have for you, I'm going to mute you. He pulled out the remote control, right, and muted Zechariah, and he said, you're not going to be able to speak until the baby gets here. Now I'm just going to fast forward and tell you how this goes down. A little bit later, Elizabeth has a baby, and they name him John. But Elizabeth wanted to name him John. Zechariah can't talk because, question God and all. And everybody's like, no, we need to name him like a family name, right? Like, Zechariah Jr. or something like that. Or if you're Carlos, Zechariah the second, and Zechariah's over there going, I don't know, And so they bring him a writing pad and he's like, J-O-H, because that's, they didn't speak English, but whatever. And then he shows them and everybody sees John and that his mouth opens and he can speak again. Sometimes God might take away your voice. I have a clicker right here. That would have been cool if we worked it out, but yeah, Matthew's over there like, oh my God, what happened to the board? Should have warned you, buddy, sorry. But exactly what happened to Zechariah was God saying, I love you too much for you to smother this miracle. I'm going to take your voice away. Because I can't allow you with your doubt to rob not just the miracle I want to give you, but the miracle I want to give the world through you. And then this miracle begins quietly. Verses 23 through 25. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Read into that what you will. Soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. And I love what she says. How kind the Lord is, she exclaimed. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children. I want to tell you, Lifehouse, God is not late. He is not ignoring your pleas. He is not absent. He is not silent. He has not forgotten you. He has not given up on you. When you raised your hand and you said, I've prayed prayers and I stopped praying them because I prayed them for so long, I just felt like the hope was never coming or the answer was never coming. I believe God said, pray it again. Pray it again. Because I'm working on something and you can't see it right now. And you don't understand it because you can't see what I see and you don't understand and know what I know. But pray it again. Ask me again. And I believe so deep in my soul that God in this church and in your life is ready to invade earth once again on a miraculous level for you, on behalf of you, but not just for you, not just because God wants to move in your life or do a miracle for you, but also because God wants to do something through you and in you that is going to make an impact far beyond you. That's how he works. That's what he does. And so hear me, Lifehouse Church. Your waiting is not empty. His silence is not absence. And the delay that you are experiencing is not denial. God is working. God is moving. God is preparing. And in Jesus' name, I believe God is aligning heaven and earth on your behalf. And I know if you're like me, the first thing that comes to my mind is I think, God, I'm a nobody. But I want to remind you of what I said when I opened this message. That thought, I'm a nobody. Why would you do this for me? Why me? Why would you hear my prayer? That thought that wants to belittle your status before your Father, he didn't put that thought there. You see, your enemy wants you to give up hope. He wants you to give up faith. He wants you to stop praying. He wants you to stop asking because he doesn't want to see God move in your life. He doesn't want to see you blessed. He doesn't want to see you prosper. He doesn't want to see you healed. He doesn't want to see you free. And so he tries to tell you, oh, you're just a nobody. God doesn't care about you. God's given up on you. God answers the prayer for them, but he's not going to answer it for you because you're nobody special. That's a lie. It's not true. Not even a little bit of it's true. The Bible tells us that Satan is the father of lies. And if he's talking, he's lying. He wants to steal and kill and destroy every good thing in your life. And the way that we fight is not with hands like this. It's with hands like this. God, I surrender to your will, to your purposes. And Lord, this is what I'm asking for. This is what I'm believing for. This is what I'm praying for. And here's how you know you really are stepping into a place of faith and not just a place of, God, give me what I want. Because a lot of times we get frustrated with God because we pray prayers and he doesn't answer them. And then we're like, oh, God, I'm mad at you. And I hear that. I've been mad at God before too. But see that reveals a status of your heart. Like your faith is not in God. Your faith is in what God can do for you. Here's how you know that you're moving from, God, I want you to give me what I want, to God, I want these things, but they're not the most important things, is when you start praying like this. God, here's my request. And if you give it to me, if you answer this prayer, man, it's going to be awesome. And I'm going to worship and I'm going to praise and I'm going to shout and I'm going to testify of your goodness. And it's going to be amazing and it's going to be so awesome. But God, you got a plan. And I don't understand it all. And here's what I'm asking for. And I really hope you do this. But even if you don't, I trust you. And I know that there might be things that you're doing behind the scenes that I don't understand right now. And so even if you don't give me this thing I want, I'm gonna shout and I'm gonna worship and I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna praise and I'm gonna testify to your goodness because you're good. Even if the situation is not, you're good. And I'm gonna continue to trust you with this situation. I'm gonna continue to trust you with whatever this is. Because God, whether you show up or don't show up right now, I know that you're not absent. I know that your plans for me are good. They're not always easy, but they're good. And so God, I'm gonna trust no matter what. I'm gonna praise no matter what. And when the enemy tells me, oh, he's forsaken you, I'm gonna tell him to go back where he came from because I know better. Because God, you've been so good to me before. And I trust you that you're gonna be good to me moving forward. I trust you, God. I trust you even when I don't know how to trust you. I trust you even when the circumstances and the situations don't make sense. Because God, I trust that your truth is greater than the facts in front of my eyes. That's when you step from, it's Christmas, we can use Santa Claus as an illustration. That's when we move from treating our prayer requests like God is cosmic Santa to God is the God of all creation, of heaven and earth, and all beyond it, right? I'm not giving God my wish list. I'm giving God my heart. I'm not giving God my demands. I'm giving God my heart. So you might have noticed, it seems like I might be talking out of both sides of my mouth. I'm saying pray the big prayers, ask the big things, and I am saying that wholeheartedly. Don't stop. Don't stop praying. Don't stop worshiping. Don't stop serving. Don't stop asking. In fact, I would encourage you, if I'm going to encourage you in anything, for most of us, we're praying too smaller prayers. We're asking for too little. And sometimes I think, I know I do this a lot. I have a list, and I'm like, and I'm thinking, God, I'm just being real needy. But you know, one of the churches that Jesus rebuked in the book of Revelation, he rebuked them because he said, you think you're rich, you think you've got everything you need, but in fact, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, and you're naked. Like, you don't even have enough clothes. What he was saying is, I respond to a spirit of dependence on me. And God, when you give your request to the Lord, his ear doesn't get tired. He doesn't go, man, you ever gonna stop? That's not the Lord. That's not how he works. That's not who he is. Whatever you're waiting for. Maybe it's healing. Anybody need healing in their body today? Come on, raise your hand. Let's be bold today. Amen. Anybody need the Lord to provide? Maybe it's financial, maybe it's relational. Maybe you just want to see the Lord provide in your life. Maybe it's restoration of a relationship. Anybody, let me see your hand. Come on. Maybe you're asking the Lord for wisdom and clarity on what his plan is for you and in your life and in whatever season you're in. Is there anybody, Lord, I need wisdom. I need clarity. Maybe you want to see a miracle in your family. Maybe you want to see your child healed or God move in their life in a very powerful way. Raise your hand. Come on, all over the house today. I want to encourage you that whatever you're waiting for right now, right where you're sitting, I want you to imagine it. I want you to go beyond imagining it. I want you to speak it out loud. I want you to say it out loud. God, I am believing that you are going to move in this situation and that this is going to be the product of that. And I know it's going to take a miracle, but you are the God of miracles. Come on, I want you with your mouth. If you raised your hand and you're wanting to see restoration in your family, I want you to name that person out loud. Unless they're sitting next to you, then just whisper it, I guess. But I want you to name that person out loud. God, I want you to move. I'm just Max, you're right here. I want you to move in Max's life today, and wherever he's at, I want you to bring him to you. God, I want you to move in Johnny's life today and bring healing to his body and his mind. God, I want you to move, and I'm just giving you examples, but hey, maybe you need healing, and I believe the Lord can do it. Maybe, I don't know. I'm having fun, but I'm being sincere and I'm being serious. I want you right now, close your eyes all across the house, close your eyes. And I want you in your mind's eye to see the person, see the name, see the situation, see the miracle that you're waiting on God for. And I want you right now, and I know this is going to take boldness, and I know for some of you this is uncomfortable, but listen, if you want something you've never had, it's time to start doing things you've never done. And I want you to start speaking it out loud. Name the person, name the provision, name the miracle, name the healing. God, I want you to heal my back in the name of Jesus. God, I never want to have another backache again. Lord, I'm praying that joints in this house today, that cartilage and ligaments would strengthen and reappear where it has disappeared in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that blood pressure and blood sugar would regulate without medication, without insulin, without any that cholesterol, God, would be at the proper level. And yes, Lord, help us to be disciplined in our diet. But Father, also give us help and healing today. Father, I pray for miraculous provision. Too many people sitting in these seats today are struggling financially because of the state of the economy or the world or situations beyond their control and maybe even financial mistakes they have made. But Lord, you are the God who redeems the past, rights the wrong, and makes a way for the future. Lord, we believe today for miraculous help and provision. God, in this house today, there are mothers and fathers who are crying tears right now on behalf of their children, whether it be a relationship emotional thing, a healing thing, or whatever it may be. God, in the name of Jesus, we speak life, we speak wholeness, we speak healing over our kids today in Jesus' name. There might be mothers and fathers who want to be, there might be men and women who want to be mothers and fathers dealing with infertility. Father, in the name of Jesus, that whether it's through an angel that appears to them or a country bumpkin pastor on the platform that says it right now, in Jesus' name, this time next year, may there be a baby in that nursery with their last name. Come on, have you done it yet? Have you given it to the Lord? Have you believed God for it? I want you to see it spiritually. I want you to see it in your mind's eye. And now, I want you to do something else that's going to be possibly even a little more difficult. I want you to start thanking God for moving on your behalf. I want you to say it out loud. God, I thank you that you have healed my body. I do not, you may say, I don't see the physical evidence, but spiritually I am walking in wholeness. Come on, that's right. That's not fake. That's faith. That's faith. God, I'm going to thank you even if I don't see the evidence with my own eyes. I see it with my spiritual eyes. Come on, is there anybody in the house today that just wants to give a thanks to the Lord that he's moving on your behalf? You may not see it yet, but I believe in Jesus' name, heaven is working behind the scenes on your behalf. Hebrews tells us that faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things that we cannot see. But I believe in Jesus' name that as time goes on, the things that we are believing for in faith in this moment that we cannot see, that we will begin to see, that we will see the evidence of prayers that have been answered and miracles that have been performed. I just wonder, is anybody else in the house want to go ahead and just stand up and shout a praise to God for moving on their behalf this morning, for moving in a miraculous way? I just wonder if there's anybody at Lifehouse that says, I may not see it, I may not feel it, but as far as heaven is concerned, I am claiming it and believing that it is done in the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you again, that's not fake. That's not lying. That is faith. Faith in the Word of God, because His truth always trumps your facts. Come on, can we lift up a shout of praise? Thank you, God, for being my healer. Thank you, God, for being my provider. Thank you, God, that you restore what is broken and redeem what the enemy has meant for evil, and you use it for good. Come on, come on. No, 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 no. We're not done. We're not stopping. We're not slowing down. Come on, can you just lift up your hands and tell him, I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, just take some time and worship the King this morning. You tell the presence of the Lord is in this place. Oh, I don't think he's done. I don't think he's done. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This for me for just a moment. I didn't plan to do this, but I just feel like the Lord, this is where he's leading us. Put your hands down for just a moment. And I feel like everyone in the room could raise their hands. And if that's the case, then that's fine too. We're going to take our time. I tried to preach a little shorter today because I wanted to have time to pray. Come on. Give me, good job, Drew. But you're here. You've said the things. You followed along with me. But I mean, there's just a desperation in your soul. God, I'm so tired of this being this way. And you believe that maybe today is my one day. Like in faith. Like your mind, your logical brain is like, no, no, no. But your faith is like, yes, yes, today. Today is my day. Today is my one day. I want you to just lift your hand. And I'm going to have people come pray for you. Go ahead. You can lift it. You lift it, lift it, lift it. Lift it up, lift it up, lift it up, lift it up. Now, if your hand is not in the air, if your hand is not in the air, I want you to look around. We do this relatively often at Lifehouse, but today is going to be different because today is our one day. Lift it really high. I want you to look around. I want you to find somebody with their hand in the air, and I want you to go to them. And I want, if you are able to tell them, if your hand is up, if you are able to tell the people that come to you and pray for you what it is that you are asking the Lord for. If you can't tell them, that's fine. The Lord knows and God is not limited by that. But if you can, I want you to tell them. I want you to tell them what it is. And then as you go and pray for people, I want you to speak life in that situation. Can you do that now? I know it's strange. I know it's a little difficult. I know it's confrontational. But Lifehouse, listen, this is what church is really about. It's not about three songs and three sermon points and a poem and go home and feel better. It is about experiencing the power of God and growing together as the men and women of God. Come on, let's take some time. Thank you for healing bodies. God, I thank you for healing minds. I thank you for providing for needs. I thank you for strengthening marriages. I thank you for restoring relationships. I thank you, God, for saving souls, touching lives, changing hearts. I thank you for new babies on the way. I thank you that depression is being healed, that anxiety and mental conditions are being healed and bodies are being made whole. I thank you, God, that stomach pain is being healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.